Welcome to Mental Health Mondays. I'm your host, Vince Tropea. As always, here on the show, we aim to provide an open platform for discussions about a wide variety of mental health topics, ranging from professionals in the field to testimonials from people struggling with issues, with the main goal being keeping ongoing and consistent mental health dialogue and discussions. Our guest today is Jenny Locke. She's an occupational therapist at the Wyoming Behavioral Institute. It's a psychiatric hospital in Casper, Wyoming, that offers inpatient care for children, adolescents, and adults. WBEI also offers a 24-hour hotline that is maintained to assist hospitals, individuals, families, law enforcement, and others seeking an immediate response when faced with a psychiatric crisis. Call 800-457-9312 for information. That number one more time is 800-457-9312. 9312. Jenny will be filling us in on what occupational therapy is, its role in the mental health field, specifically in the psychiatric setting, and will also share some of the ways occupational therapy has helped patients at WBI. But before we get into that today, Jenny, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
We really appreciate you stopping by and taking the time to chat with us. Before we get into the conversation, too, about how you got involved in occupational therapy, could you just kind of give our listeners a background, some background info on what occupational therapy is?
So occupational therapy, it's kind of deceiving. We use the term as occupation, not like as your job and vocation, but more the things that you do to occupy your time, the things that you participate in your daily life. So participating at like work or participating in school functions or just your daily life types of things. And so that's why occupational therapy is so diverse. It works in all kinds of different areas, but the main focus is always occupation based.
And would you say that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions people have about what OTs do and what occupational therapy is they think it's just specific to occupations?
Yeah. I mean, it is, yeah, that is definitely a misconception. Most people think it's just vocational based, but not just the specific occupations. A lot of people confuse occupation with vocation, which is your job.
Right.
We do, yeah, definitely a big misconception. And also where we work in all kinds of facilities. It's a very diverse profession. That's another problem because sometimes you see occupational therapists working in a hospital, working with a physical disabilities. Mm-hmm. And then when you have WBI, where we're working with mental health patients, it's very, very different.
Yeah. I've chatted with a number of occupational therapists at physical therapy locations as well. What would you say the biggest role that OT plays in the psychiatric setting?
So in the psychiatric setting, we do a lot of group interventions, and our interventions are so focused a lot more on coping strategies, ways to deal with situations in your life, or executive functioning skills. We do a lot of work with sensory modulation, mindfulness techniques, movement-based activities, all of these things focusing on your mental health and how you can establish routines and habits to make sure that you're taking care of your mental health needs also. And to be able to manage typical frustrations or stressors that may happen in individuals' lives.
And for Wyoming specifically, what do you find some of the biggest hurdles that people have when they're trying to just address mental health in general, and then when they're going through occupational therapy? I just know that there's a big, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get through it, tough it out kind of mentality throughout the state. And I'm just interested to see or to hear your thoughts on how that plays in OT.
So that is a big hurdle. We're a very rural state, and we kind of, Wyoming people pride themselves on being tough and hardy individuals. And unfortunately, mental health is, everybody has mental health. Some people are dealing with their mental health effectively, and then there's people who aren't. And there's such a big stigma with people who are having a hard time in their life and just, you know, kind of people calling them crazy. And they're not crazy. They're just having challenges that they haven't figured out how to deal with. And so that's a huge problem is, you know, people come to us and they're feeling really awful about their life, even though mental health is a normal thing. They just don't have the skills and strategies to manage things that happen to them. And so stigma is a huge thing. And then just seeking out mental health. You know, sometimes people come here against their, you know, will. They don't always want to come here. But then when they get here, they realize, you know, talking about some of those mental health problems is really, really powerful. And sometimes just the thing they need to get them kind of over that slump and back into a better place and a better mindset. I think, you know, with COVID, we've seen a lot of changes. Mental health has been really, really at the forefront because of the COVID pandemic, which, you know, obviously has been really challenging, but it had people look at their own mental health and experience things a little bit different. And so sometimes I think that's helped us with the stigma in Wyoming a little bit, but we still have a long way to go. You know, if you look at kind of the statistics, there are over 5 million adults ages 18 years or older that have mental illness, and then about 3 million who have serious mental illness problems. That's a huge amount of numbers, and there's still not a lot of support for those individuals, you know, and so it's just a huge problem. And Wyoming, unfortunately, our statistics is, I think we're number one in the nation for suicides rate per 100,000 people, and so it's really scary. Yeah. We're really kind of, I'm not saying we're behind the times, but we need to make it more aware that mental health matters to everybody.
And matters to everybody, and just to normalize at the very least having the discussions. I mean, that's one of the biggest goals of the show and Mental Health Monday is just these types of conversations should just be as everyday and common as talking about your favorite sports team, as talking about issues with your cars, talking about your work. The more we hopefully can do stuff like that, the less people will be hesitant to reach out and get that help.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's what I say. Sometimes people don't realize it's okay to talk about things that they're struggling with. And sometimes just having somebody to talk about can be the difference between making a serious life-changing decision or being able to move forward with difficult times in their life.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I mean, and that's a big part of what occupational therapy do is we really focus on the individual. What are they struggling with? What are their problems specifically? And how can we help them get into a place where maybe they can have better strategies or have a habit or a routine where things they do normally help them keep that mental health in check, like, you know, exercise activities or just something that's fun, like drawing, art, you know, going mountain bike riding, just helping people define what's important to them and how they can figure those things out to help their mental health.
And then do you find as well that people, when they're initially struggling with having those discussions, is it common for people to give up pretty quick if they don't see immediate results? I find that aspect of things kind of interesting because generationally and just as a country, we want immediate gratification. And these types of things, I'm assuming, aren't overnight and take a while.
Yeah. Mental health it's kind of retraining your brain. If you look at physical rehabilitation, like you break your arm, you get a cast. You get the cast off. You do some therapy afterwards and you're fine. But mental health is so very different because you don't see that somebody has a problem. It's their internal struggle that they're dealing with and their cognitive distortions that they've taught themselves that they're not worthy and they're not good and all of those things. And then retraining that negative thought process is a real challenge and it does take a lot longer.
Well, and I've seen it. It's very popular, but it's mega true. Pay attention to your mental check engine light, the check engine light for your brain. If you keep putting those things off, because, yeah, you may be very resilient, you may be very strong, and you're putting those thoughts off, you're putting your issues and struggles off, but after a while, that car is going to be need to be maintenanced, and you're going to need to take it to a professional who knows what they're doing to get you through that. And I just hope that a number of people do kind of look at it that way, that it's just like taking your car in to get it checked, you know, go talk to someone, go speak to an occupational therapist.
Yeah. And at least, you know, that's a big part of what we try to help people with is basic self-care things, and not just making sure you dress yourself, but making sure that you're putting the effort into your mental health and doing the things that you need to every day, like taking time to do some kind of relaxation strategy, taking time to have fun. You know, sometimes we get so focused on the day-to-day grind and we're working and taking care of families and all these struggles, and we just don't take the time to just have fun. And that's a really big part of what we try to do in occupational therapy here at WBI.
Well, and that's just amazing, an amazing way to put it and an amazing outlook on how folks can get through. You get back to wanting to have fun, get back to having fun, and everyone deserves it. Everyone's entitled to it, but it will take effort and it will take work.
100%, yeah.
Now, I was going to ask, I know you can't get too specific in, you know, naming names of patients or clients or anything like that, but I'm very interested in personal success stories that you've seen firsthand for occupational therapy in terms of mental health.
Mm-hmm. So there's this big interplay between mental health challenges and sensory modulation, being able to know your senses and how to manage them. And sometimes everyone has specific sensory tendencies and preferences that they prefer. But sometimes when you have mental health issues, those two don't work together. So working with people individually, trying to figure out what kind of things are kind of like triggering to them, things that they can't handle in their environment, or they're going to, you know, have a problem. So working with individuals on that level is really something that we do quite often here at WBI. Another thing is, recently we've had some individuals who are higher level autistic, but who are also having mental health problems. And sometimes individuals who have autism really have to live their life in a structured, routine way. And so we've helped them figure out how we can merge the structure here at this facility with the structure they need so that we can keep them in a good place mentally while they're here. You know, working with people to kind of find out what are some of those triggers for them with substance use. What are situations where they get themselves into where they know that they're going to have a problem with substance use. Helping people just kind of getting to know themselves better is another thing that we do quite often. We have great success with people. Sometimes people use substances more for management of their mental health because they don't really understand what's going on. And that's often something that we work with people individually. And like I said, we do a lot of group-based interventions. And so in groups and individually, we work a lot on those things. And we have had a lot of great successes.
Now, is that, because I just assume it's all so situational with every patient, every client. Do you find that people tend more towards the individual recovery or the group recovery?
Honest, there's a lot of evidence out there that supports group interventions, because when we do occupational therapy in a group setting, we have a specific 7-step process that we follow. And then we become more of the facilitator of the group. And then the peers and the people in the group work together to get more peer interaction and talk about situations that all of them have been through. So sometimes group settings are more beneficial just because of that peer interaction. I don't always have experience with some of the things that the people we serve have gone through, you know? And so some people that are here have experienced life situations that I haven't. And so they can get peer feedback, and that can be really, really powerful.
That is really powerful, because it just once again reinforces the importance of connection and communication, and I'm assuming to some level accountability too, because you don't want to be the one person, and I mean I hate to say it this way, but you don't want to be the one person that, in that group setting, that isn't putting in the strides and efforts. You know, you might have positive support from group members when you want to quit or give in or give up for that day. Having that accountability there may help people get over that hurdle.
Yeah. And yeah, another thing with the accountability too, we have people of different steps in their recovery. You know, somebody who's newly found recovery and somebody who's 10 years sober, and, you know, seeing those differences and holding them accountable in that way. And sometimes those little white lies that we tell ourselves, like, oh, it's okay, I can handle this time. Well, other people know that you can't. And so then that,
because they've lived it.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I just think that that's just a good thing for people to keep in mind if they are thinking that they need to reach out or get help of any kind. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here today with a quick question, a specific question about the youth, and what your thoughts are that are going on with the youth in terms of mental health and occupational therapy that people might not be aware of.
You know, COVID-19 is a huge thing, but that has impacted the children of our society in such significant ways that we will probably see the long-term impacts for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of radically changed the way they have gone to school, and their main role in life at that time is being a student. And so how school has changed so significantly, and to be able to have that communication and interaction with peers, and how that was pretty much gone from their lives for almost a year, you
mm-hmm.
know, those are huge things. When we talk about the youth, their whole role in life is to be a child, to play, and to have fun. And then they've, you know, been dealt this hand where some really scary stuff has been going on around them, and they're hearing all these scary things on school, or about school and about COVID-19 on TV, and it's hard for them to process that. I think just the way social media has changed how it is to be a child in this world, that's another significant thing that we have to deal with a lot of the times here at WBI. Bullying and cyberbullying is a huge problem. And it's scary because sometimes we hear about these kids who are being told that they're worthless and they should just hurt themselves, you know, through the internet. It's terrifying to think that it's that easy to say these things to people, and there's not as much accountability. It's a scary time.
It's a scary time. It's terrifying to think. And I don't think a lot of adults and a lot of people my generation and older really fathom how important the digital identity is to a kid. I mean, it's easy. It's very easy to say, well, don't read that. Don't pay attention to those comments. Don't take it serious. But digital yeah. identities are huge for children and even up to the high school age right now. And the mm-hmm. constant attention, the constant need for validation on those social media platforms. So if yep. there's anything that is just short of what they were expecting, it has huge effects on them.
Yeah. And that goes back to the resiliency in people. It's something that kind of has to be taught to younger kids. If they don't see positive role models in their life who are resilient, who are always focusing on trying to do better and have good mental health, then they develop some of those poor habits. And that's just a constant, it's like the generational trauma type of stuff, you know. It's hard.
Well,
I couldn't imagine.
Go ahead, right? I'm sorry,
I just said I couldn't imagine being a kid right now with all the different changes that life has for them.
Well, it's especially, I mean, you think about how much we as adults like routines, need routines, and how much that's even more needed at a younger age, and to be having your daily routine different on a week-to-week basis. Like you said, people, we're going to feel the repercussions of the effects of COVID and the psychological effects of this for decades to come.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we do really appreciate you taking the time to stop by or taking the time to chat with us on the phone today, Jenny. I have to go ahead and wrap things up here, but was there anything else that you wanted to get out to our listeners and the public about occupational therapy or what you guys are doing at WBI? Anything at all that you wanted to mention before we let you go?
I think I'd like to say more so just on a general thing, mental health is so important. It's not even about OT, just being able to be aware of when you're struggling and reaching out to people is that's what I'd like people to know more so than anything, that there are people that can help you. And in OT, we really want to focus on the individual person and help them manage whatever they want in life. If they want to be a successful person and they have goals to work towards that, we're here to help. And I think all mental health professionals are in that same category.
Here to help and just care about, like you mentioned before, just the years coming forward, what's to come. We need to start having those dialogues now so that way we know how to have them later when things are potentially worse than they are now in terms of the state of the world and state of the country.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, we do appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. We wish you the best of luck and thank you for everything that you're doing over there at WBI.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed this.
Well, we enjoyed having you on. Thanks again. We are going to go ahead and wrap things up today for Mental Health Monday. As always, the full broadcast and recording will be later on county10.com. Go to county10.com, look for the podcast section, and you will find today's recording of Mental Health Monday.